We're going to start from actually a different perspective. The shiur is going to be a little bit different than our normal shiur, less chumash text and more outside text that are related to the chumash. So I'm going to start with a halacha in Siman Resh Yud Chet, Seif Aleph. We're Parshat Chukat. Yeah. Okay. And we'll start from there and Resh Yud Chet of Or Chaim in Mishnah Berurah. Resh Yud Chet Seif Aleph says the Mishnah Berurah. These are brachot shenasim al nisim. Certain brachot that you say are for miracles. And then this is brought down the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm studying the Shulchan Aruch for a reason. Haro'eh makom shenasu bo nisim li Yisrael. If a person is zochet to see a place where miracles were done for the Jewish people, kegon ma'abrot hayam. For example, if you somehow find the place where the Jewish people crossed the Dead Sea, good luck, okay? But if you see that, or ma'abrot hayardein, if you see where the Jewish people crossed the Yarden.
You did. Did you see it?
Do you know where they crossed? I saw the Yarden. We saw the Yarden. I don't know if we saw it. I don't know if we saw where. It's okay. Ma'abrot nachalei Arnon. Okay, and there's this place called Nachalei Arnon where two mountains and they pass in the valley. Va'avnei al gabishol beit choron. Avnei al gabishol, like, we think they're like asteroids, but they're certainly like military weapons of some kind that were in the prehistoric time. Not prehistoric, in the biblical times. Ve'evin shebikesh Og lizrok al Yisrael. And the rock which Og wanted to throw on the Jewish people.
These examples are fascinating.
Ve'evin sheyashav aleha Moshe be'et milchemet Amalek. And the stone that Moshe sat on during the war with Amalek.
I know that stone.
That went, what?
In the desert, I know that stone.
Right. You know that stone? I mean, you didn't know any of the other ones until now. Right? What do you mean?
No, she's being facetious.
Oh, okay, right.
No,
where is that rock, by the way? That's not where that...
In Rephidim.
Right, in Rephidim, outside of Egypt.
But how would we know where Rephidim is?
Good question. Okay, but if you see that rock... Not... We're going to...
GPS
it. The Evet Shiashav... Sorry, I did that one. Then, Mevarech Sh'asa Nisim La'avoteinu B'makom Hazeh. There's a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Sh'asa Nisim La'avoteinu B'makom Hazeh. That's the bracha that you make. Okay, I mean, has anybody here made that bracha? Did we make the bracha? Did we stop and make
Every
the bracha?
Every time we passed the place where we had that.
With Shem and Malchut, yeah. Okay, that's it. It's a different sugya. Very important sugya. Right, but there's these are brought...
Well, shouldn't we say it then at the old city, you know, when they reclaimed the
very nice.
Modern,
very nice.
Historical... Then we should, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Okay, but, well, Nisim... What? All of these Nisim are Nisim. Ma'abrot Nachalei Arnon, Ma'abrot Hayarden. Okay, the all of these are they overt miracles or covert miracles?
Pretty obvious.
Overt miracles, except the Evan Shiashav Aleha Moshe Mechamat Amalek. Was that a pretty obvious miracle?
I would think so. When his hands were up, they won. When his hands were down, they lost.
When their hands were up, they looked to God. When their hands were down, they didn't look to God. What you mean? One that fire came down from the heavens and burnt up the people of Amalek, or one that they started the battle plan to tide. Okay, fine. I'm just pointing out. It's a question. Do you believe that there is such a rock that Moshe Rabbeinu sat on?
Of course
you believe that. So theoretically, you could find that rock if you wanted to.
In theory.
Good. What about Evan Shebikesh Og Lizrok Al Yisrael? Anybody know what? You ever heard of that rock? The rock that Og wanted to throw on the Jewish people.
Yeah, that I've just read in the little midrash says.
The little midrash says. You get a lot of great information in the little midrash.
And they did say that rock was.
Hold on.
In the time of the Gemara, they did know where that rock
pull
was.
Pull it out. One second. We have a little. Don't we have a little midrash says somewhere over there?
I don't think so.
We don't have a little midrash says? Okay.
We might have some. The midrash down on the says bottom. You
got yet. On the midrash says? Okay. Yeah, on Bamidbar?
Down on the bottom, we have the little midrash.
I'm curious what they say. Okay, this is, by the way, you gain a tremendous amount. You ever heard of this rock?
On the bottom shelf.
No, but when you said Bikesh,
yeah.
Right, it doesn't sound like...
Wow, okay, yeah.
It doesn't sound like there was something.
Doesn't sound like there was some throwing going on.
Well, I mean, maybe he requested it. I don't know enough more of the story.
All right, I'll try.
You know,
I don't know nothing that well, but I'm just saying, you said he requested.
He became, he tried, one second, where is this, so we have to stop on this, because the reason I brought this down for a reason, wait, is there a picture of it?
Okay, yes, here.
Okay, we can all see the picture. Wait, how's that?
And right? Should I read it?
Wait a second. This picture is inaccurate.
Of course it's inaccurate, because he's too...
Wait a second. We'll see. You'll tell me. What is wrong about this picture?
Moshe's too tall.
Show the picture. What is wrong with the picture?
Moshe's too
tall. I will read. I will read. Thank you. It's good that you found it. Should you show the picture?
In the
picture of Og and the little midrash says.
Moshe's too tall.
Okay, what?
The proportion is off.
The proportion is off.
Yeah, Moshe should be
smaller. Moshe should be smaller and Og should be bigger.
Moshe's
we'll get there. Okay.
I thought you did that last week.
1 second. I'm not going to read it here. I think I'm going to... 1 second. I'll read it. Mm-hmm. Og looked at the camp of Bnei Israel. He thought, I'll get a rock the size of the camp, throw it on the Jews, and destroy them in one blow. The mighty giant Og found a rock the size of a small mountain. He lifted it and prepared to throw it at Bnei Israel like a deadly bomb. But Hashem caused an army of ants to bore holes in the sandy rock. As Og lifted it, the inside parts of the rock crumbled. The outside part fell over Og's head and rested like a ring around his neck. Og tried to get rid of the rock that encircled his head, but his long teeth got stuck in the rock. He couldn't move without breaking his teeth. Meanwhile, Moshe, who was 10 amos tall, grabbed an axe that was 10 amos long and jumped 10 amos high in the air. At that height, he reached Og's ankle, which was 30 amos above the ground. Moshe drove the ankle into Og's foot. The giant fell backwards and died. What do you think about this story? I spoke with you about it. Okay, so just remember your personal conversation. What do you think about this story? What is your immediate reaction to this story?
The physics of it are almost impossible.
The physics of it are almost impossible?
Yeah.
Why?
It's fantastic. To hold somebody 10 amos high, to hold something that's 10 amos long, to jump
10 amos in the air and hit his ankle.
Right.
Okay, so do the math. So then Og's ankle was 30 amos in the air. Okay, which means how tall was Og? Do the math. Wait, we did it with the kids. Right? Let's say your ankle is like 3 inches off the ground, not even 3 centimeters. Well, how old is your ankle? 3 inches off the ground? Okay, and the average person is 6 feet, 72, that much, 72 inches. So 3 out of 72 is 1/24, right? So just assume that Og was 700, assume for rounding purposes, Og was 720 amos high. You know, amos is a foot and a half. So Og was 1,000 feet high. Literally the size of the Empire State Building. So that's why I said the picture was off. Like you found the picture. It's good that you found this. What? I don't know. You find it again. You can't, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was like
an ant.
10 amos high. And that's a pretty tall guy, Moshe is 10 amos high.
That's a bit like the David and Goliath story. Like,
really?
No.
David and Goliath.
It's the same idea of someone very tiny beating someone very
wise. Wait a second. What do we do? Well, we have a number of interesting questions. What do you do with this story? Do you say, the little midrash says, those silly Jews, come on. Right? Where'd that come from? But on the other hand, I just read to you from a relatively authoritative book in Jewish tradition that we call the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? And the Shulchan Aruch says, if you see the Evan Shebikesh Og Lizrok Al Yisrael, if you see this rock, you make a bracha. What bracha do you make? You make a bracha of Baruch She'asan Nisim Lavoteinu B'Makom Hazeh. What do you mean? Well, if you find that rock, I mean, it's another rock. By the way, if Og was the size of the Empire State Building, how big was the rock?
Well, this is the rock. The rock was the size of the Mach.
Yeah. Right. So
small.
What? Yeah. You're not kidding. So, but you understand why I started with the Shulchan Aruch. So I was just going to tell you, you can't just dismiss the little midrash says. You can't, because somehow, Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote this in the Shulchan Aruch. Did he believe there was such a rock? And you said, oh yeah, I know the rock that Moshe sat on. Do you believe that Moshe sat on a rock?
Sure.
Sure. Right? Why?
Says it in the Torah.
Says in the Torah. Do you believe that Og picked up a rock to try to throw it on the Jewish people?
I should.
I don't know. All I'm saying is it's one line in the Shulchan Aruch.
Maybe the halacha is basically saying that in places or things that Rokhani was in the hotel, it doesn't necessarily need to be specified each little thing, but things that were good for the Jews, we get a bracha in this situation.
That's all very nice and good, but again, you're stuck with the Shulchan Aruch.
He doesn't write like that.
I'm going to read it. Evan should be Kesh, the Og, Lizrok, Al Yisrael. This is a Hilchot Brachot.
So what does it, sorry, I've missed it.
What does that mean?
If you see the rock that Og tried, wanted to throw against the Jewish people, you make a bracha. There's a certain bracha. Right? Have I troubled you sufficiently? That's good. Right? That's pretty good. It's difficult. If there's no, I'm sorry to say, I have no simple answers for you. Right? This is not a simple question. So this all starts from Parshat Chukah. Now we're going to do a little, just a variant of Parshat Chukah. Look at Parak Chav Aleph.
So you're talking generally about what is our approach to magician?
Eventually. And we're going to start with Chukah. What?
He's told us a list of things that can't be found in no one.
That they know exactly where it was.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know. This I didn't know. The little midrash says continues. Didn't you say, Tracy, that you said it continues? The little midrash says, in the time of the Gemara, it was still known which rock Og had tried to destroy the Jews. Whenever a Jew passed that rock, he said the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Lekenu Melech Olam Sha'asah Nisim Avoteinu B'Makom Hazeh. Okay? And the following places were also known to the Jews. I don't know if that's true. I'm not entirely sure that that's true. I don't know where they get the fact that they knew. If the Gemara does say, you make the bracha, right? And
well,
the Shulchan Aruch is
that
based
the
on the Gemara.
Talking, theoretically, they're assuming
the
Gemara is
talking.
Why
would there be a bracha on something if we don't have the opportunity to make it?
Because one day we might find it.
That's what I'm saying. So they must have known about
it. Okay. Perek Kaf Aleph Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Okay, the end of Parshat Chukah is really the beginning of the end of the Jewish history in the Midbar, right? Jewish history in the desert. Because really, in the end, what happens is that that the 40 years pass in the desert. Right? The beginning of Chukah is we're still at the beginning of the 40 years. Right? You have the Parsha of the Parah Adumah, the beginning. And immediately the stories in Chukah are the death of Miriam, the death of Aaron, and the conquest of much of Avraham Yarden, the western part of the eastern side of the Yarden. Okay, so and all of that happened after the 40 years were over.
Right.
And it's very important to realize that those 40 years are over. You're dealing with a new Bnei Israel. You're dealing with the children. You're not dealing with the parents. And that's a different story that we're not going to discuss today. So at the very end of the parsha, the Torah talks about Sichon, Og, they conquered Moab, they went around Edom. Very fascinating stories. Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Chapter 21, Pasuk Lamed Aleph 31. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz ha'amori. Okay, the Jewish people sat in Eretz ha'amori. Vayishlach Moshe l'ragel et Yazer, vayilkidu benoteha. Moshe sent out spies, okay, l'ragel et Yazer, to spy out Yazer, vayilkidu benoteha. Its daughters were Yilkidu?
Captured.
Okay. Vayoresh et Amoriah Shasham. You'll notice, by the way, Pasuk Lamed Bet, look at Rashi for a second, Vayishlach Moshe l'ragel, hamiragdlim laktuha. The spies themselves captured it. They didn't wait for anybody. Amru lo na'aseh karbishonim. We're not going to do like our parents. B'tuchim anu b'koach tfilato shel Moshe l'ilachem. We have faith in Moshe's power and to dive in to fight. They say, the new generation, they say, we're not making the mistake of the old generation. Moshe says, go fight. They're like, the Moshe says, I'll send spies in. So he sends like the commandos in, and the commandos don't wait for the army. They capture it. Done. Okay? We don't even, that's it. Right, pretty impressive. They went and they traveled the path of Bashan. Og melech ha-Bashan nikratam. Hu v'chol amol l'milchama edrei. Og melech ha-Bashan comes out to fight with all of his army. Okay? V'yomer Hashem el Moshe. Al tira oto. Do not be afraid of him. Ki b'yadcha natati oto v'et kol amo v'et arzo. I put him and his whole nation, his whole land in your hands. V'asita lo kasher asita. You shall do to him just like you do. What? No, it's Tuesday. Tuesday is the training day. Isn't Tuesday usually Sky Day?
You know the schedule?
Yeah.
Usually I remember it's on Tuesday. You can tell. Okay. Kasher asita l'sichon melech ha'amri asher yoshev b'cheshbon. Just like you did Sichon. We didn't read it, but they destroyed. I already destroyed Sichon. This pasuk raises serious problems. What's the serious problem it raises? They fought Sichon. Okay, they actually wanted to go around Sichon. They wanted to go through Sichon. And Sichon said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And Moshe said, then I'll huff and I'll puff. And I'll blow your house in. And they did. Okay? Meaning Sichon, it's an interesting story. Sichon could have avoided a war. The Jews didn't want to fight them. But, you know, picked a fight and paid the price. So now Og also stands up to fight. What's the problem with the Pasuk?
Sounds like Moshe's scared.
Yeah! Want to say it again?
Sounds like Moshe's scared.
Okay, which is, what's the problem with that?
He shouldn't be.
He should have Emunah.
Just like?
With
Sichon. Well, just like all the Amoraglim. They said, Betuchim anu tfilata shel Moshe v'lachem. And then the next thing, Vayom Hashem Moshe al tirauta. What in the world is Moshe afraid of?
Moshe.
Now Og, right? You should just know, Og has a special place in Midrashic lore. It's very important to know that Og is a unique individual. Where do we first meet Og Melech HaBashan in Midrash? The time of Noah. How did Og survive the flood? According to the Midrash,
he stood up.
Took a trip. He hung onto the teva. Okay, that's where Og starts. Well, but don't worry. The teva shouldn't have floated anyway. Okay. Anyway, but we're okay. But so why is Moshe Rabbeinu afraid? It's for Rashi. Al tira oto. So Rashi says the following. Shahaya Rashi Alamidalid. Shahaya Moshe Yare Lihilachem. Moshe was afraid to fight. Shema Ta'amod lo zchuto. Moshe was not afraid to fight himself. Moshe was afraid for the Jews to fight him. Shema Ta'amod lo zchuto shel Avraham. Shneemar Vayavo HaPalit. Okay? It says, as Og was afraid that the zchut of Avraham Avinu would stand for Og. Why? Why in the world would the zchut of Avraham Avinu stand for Og? Because it says, Vayavo HaPalit. Who is the Palit? Who is the Palit that came? When did the Palit come and where did he come to?
To tell
when Sodom captured Lot. So the Torah tells us, Vayavo HaPalit. What is a Palit literally? Palit is a refugee. The refugee came and told Abraham, terrible news. Well, your nephew was captured. And Abraham went and fought Sodom and saved Lot. Okay? Who Og?
What? What did he want? Why did he do it?
Oh, why did he do it? Ship Palat min harifaim. What?
He wanted to have
sons. Right. The Midrash says that he wanted Abraham to go fight, and Abraham would get killed, and then he'd get to marry Sarah. Og does not have good press in the Midrash. Okay, he's not our favorite guy.
I'm sorry, I have a strange question. How tall was Abraham?
Maybe he grew in between. Yeah, right, okay.
You want this tiny woman?
Shehiku kedar la'omer v'chavirav v'ashterot karnayim. Okay. Kedalom and his friends, guy like whatever. Shneamar kibak og melech habashan nishar miyeter harifaim. In Devarim, Og shows up and says, Og melech habashan was the one that was left from the yeter rifaim, from those people in rifaim who survived. So this Og came, and so Avraham thought. So according to Rashi, Moshe was afraid that this Og, he has chut. What does he have chut? He did a mitzvah. Ah, he intended to do an avera. Nonetheless, doesn't matter. He still has chut of a mitzvah. He did a favor to Abraham Avinu. So maybe his chut will protect him.
Okay. I was thinking that maybe he was afraid that if Og did survive
the rumble,
yeah, and just hanging on to the teva, it still meant that Hashem wanted to let him survive because Hashem could have.
Let's stop now. What's the pshat? Start. Let's pshat the psukim. You're back, so you can tell us that now. What's up, Shatan? What is Moshe afraid of?
I think Moshe's afraid that when he's strong, and they're going to all become cowardly. No, is he afraid of the rumble? No, because I feel like he's afraid of repeat of Korah,
Very good.
There's just no.
Right. The pshat is.
Or they used up this.
No, that's not pshat. That's right. The pshat is exactly that. Og is a formidable enemy who is known as a fierce adversary in battle. He's just, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's going against the toughest army in the world. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. He's afraid, exactly right, that they're going to cower, they're going to be afraid, they're going to return, and they're going to lose. Why are they going to lose? Not because Hashem wouldn't help them. They're going to lose because Hashem won't help them if they're not willing to fight.
Then they learn the lessons of their parents.
Did they? Right. That's Pshat. Okay? All this stuff we're saying above and beyond is like, is Midrash. And we're going to, and as Rina said, we struggle with the Midrash. We have to learn the Midrash and then struggle with it, try to figure out what the heck is going on.
We kind of need the Midrash because, I don't know, when the Meraglim went in, they came back saying that they're giants.
Yeah.
So he's the giant.
That big.
But he's not in Earth.
The size of the Empire State Building.
Yeah. He's a giant.
You're not talking about Harry Potter giants. You're talking about...
Maybe there were others like him.
Empires.
That were as
he's
big.
He's the last of the original.
Right. The Gemara does talk about that they went when Og died and... they found his bones, and like the guy, it was in a cave, and he thought it was in a cave, and it turns out he was hiding under like the arm bone of Og or something like that. Like, wow. Huge. The Gemara talks about that. Okay, but understand that there are this, like this little Midrash says, they didn't make it up. This is Midrashic lore. So your first inclination is to read it the same way that I read it, like a children's story. Okay? That is, by the way, I will say this. I used to say, like, there's this book, The Midrash Says. Like, you can learn a ton of them from The Midrash Says. The problem in The Midrash Says is, like, you tend to...
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not
shot.
Yeah.
Well, A, it clouds your shot. B, is that...
The point of the Midrash is how they wrote the Midrash and what they wanted...
What is the point of the Midrash?
It's not the story of the Midrash, it's how they present the Midrash.
Right, what's the point of it? Okay.
It's
so let's go on. 1 second. So God says... Particularly low flights today.
Are you saying that some of it's not true and it's just proving the point?
Whoa.
It's irrelevant if it's true. Yes.
Are you saying it's not true? Are you saying the little Midrash says is lying?
If it's sensitive of Ibn Ezra, I would say yes. But some Midrashim are not to be taken at face value, and some Midrashim, as fantastical as they may seem, are to be taken at face value.
Okay. So you're saying you're not. She's not saying what you said. She's not saying it's not true. She's saying it's true, but it's not factual. What? The planes flew so close, I could see the pilot's eye color when he flew over. Could you really?
Okay. You didn't necessarily see the eye color.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or
to make a point.
To make an important point that you couldn't make other ways. Okay? You couldn't make another way. Sometimes you can't say what you want to say. So you say it in a way in which will we say it in Hebrew, is hamivin yavin.
It's very hard to understand and accept.
Hold on, we'll get to it. Okay? That's the last pasuk lamed hey. Vayaku oto vet banav et kol amo. So Moshe Rabbeinu, God says, don't be afraid. They're not afraid. And so they struck him. Ad bilti yishir lo sarid, until none was left. Vayirshu et arzo. And they inherited the land. This is, by the way, the end. And the Jewish people traveled, and they settled, and they camped in Arvot Moab. That's the last they're done. You people don't realize. They finished traveling at Parshat Chukah. Like, the rest is all just like, Balak is a nice story, Matot Masai, Pinchas Matot Masai, it's all in Arvot Yerecho. The rest of Sefer Devarim is Arvot Moab. If you want to, you can go today, travel, you could ride up to Mitzpah Yericho. You can't go to Yericho, but you go to Mitzpah Yericho, you can see all of Yericho, and you see across the Yarden to Arvot Moab.
It's Jordan.
Yeah, it's Jordan, Arvot Moab, the plains of Moab. That's where they encamped, across the mountain plain in Arvot Moab.
Including Jordan?
It's worthwhile, take a teal. It's really
including
good.
Including Jordan?
Yeah.
So that's considered...
They conquered Jordan. They
Eretz Yisrael?
It's Eber HaYarden. It was, classically, Eretz Yisrael. Who inherited it? Who took it? Right, Reuven got half a share, and that share was not originally intended to be inherited by the 12 tribes, but
because
the 2.5 tribes took it.
And the sheep.
Correct. Yeah. Rashi, Vayaku Oto, Rashi on Lamed Hey. How? How did Vayaku Oto? Moshe Haradot. How did they strike them? How did they do it? Moshe, how did it go? Moshe killed him. Moshe killed him. Kidiita bibrachot b'haro'eh. As it says in Brachot, in Perek HaRo'eh, Akar Tura Bar Tlata Parse, translated into English. Where are you?
Yeah, I understand that.
Akar, you do?
No.
You got me in Rashi? You got me in Rashi? Where are you? Karen. Space in. Rashi on Lamed He. Rashi on Lamed He. Read me the English. On Lamed He. Vayaku Oto. Kaf Alev Lamed He. See Rashi? Vayaku Oto. They smoked him. Moshe Harago? Hold on a second. This is very important. Okay? Because it's important for you to see this. Moshe killed him. Kidiita b'brachot b'haro'eh. Right? As it says in Brachot, in the chapter Perek HaRo'eh. Akar Tura Bar Tlata Parse. Translate?
He uprooted a mountain of 3 miles and threw it at him.
Okay.
What? He uprooted a mountain of 3 miles.
A mountain.
Moshe.
A mountain.
No. Who's he? Okay. Oh, right. So, one second. Whoa, the Little Midrash says, that story that you found in the Little Midrash says, where does it really appear? In the Gemara, Rashi quotes it. So I'll redo the Gemara. This is important to see. The Little Midrash says, did not make it up. They got it from the Midrash says, who also didn't make it up, who actually got it from the Gemara. Okay, so, who didn't make it up?
I don't know, what some Midrashim were not made up, they were passed along.
Says the Gemara in Haro'ed, this is the Gemara in Brachot. So the Gemara in Brachot is more concerned with the halachot of Brachot. Right? So the Gemara says, there's a braita that says, you make a bracha on all the different places that you saw and you've seen. What's one of the places, what's one of the things that you see upon which one should make a bracha? One second.
That rock.
That rock. Oh, second. Nan dalet amar aleph. One second. Okay. Evan should be kesh og lizok al og melech habashan.
Stone.
Okay. Right. Says the Midrash, what in the world is going on? Evan should be kesh og. I'll read it to you. I didn't have it. If you want to, you can look it up. It's Nun. It's Be'er Ramon. Yeah, but they were on the other side of the Yarden. It wouldn't take them long to walk. Although, even if you're the size of the Empire State Building, somebody would have to do the math, how long would it take you to walk, right, from Mitzpeh Ramon to Arbat Moab?
Probably a few minutes.
No.
Maybe it's
there. No, it would take you a while. It's still far.
No, it's not. It's right there.
If you're 1,000 feet tall, do the math.
Who's a math teacher?
So the Gemara says, Gemara, this is a very important, interesting thing. Gemara Gemirila. It's a very important phrase. Gemara Gemirila means we were taught this. Which means.
But they did make it up.
We have a tradition.
Yes, that means they did make it up.
We have a tradition. They had a tradition. Okay? In general, Gemara Gemirila in halachic terminology means halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim.
You're not doing Ibn Ezra on this?
Sorry. Jeez. When's your class? Oh, Saturday morning. Oh, she finished. Amar, Machane Yisrael Kama Have. How big was the Jewish camp? This is Og saying, Tlata Parse. It is 3 parsaot, 3 miles long. A parsa, a mile, whatever. Okay? Aziel, I will go, V'i'akir Tura Bar Tlata Parse. I will uproot a tur, a mountain. It's not a rock, it's a mountain. 3 parsaot long. V'ashde alayhu. And I will throw it on them Jews. V'aktalinu. I'll kill them all. Right? It's the quickest way, you know, most efficient way. Azal akartura bartlata parse. He went and he uprooted a mountain that was 3 parsaot long. V'aite, it's in Bereshit, isn't it? V'aite al reshe. And he put it on his head. So he, I mean, Tracy found the right. The picture is inaccurate. Why is the picture inaccurate? Well, no. The picture is inaccurate because the scale is incorrect. Og is significantly bigger than, meaning in the picture, Og is like, you know, Moshe is like this, and Og is like this. Og should be huge, and he's holding a rock big enough to fall on the entire camp. They should have checked their nutrition. Okay? What?
Artistic
Yeah, artistic license. V'ayti. No, you could just make the camp smaller. V'ayti. It's actually interesting. I'm learning Masechet Tamid now. I learn Mishnah in the morning. Masechet Tamid is all about the Korban Tamid. And there's this great Masechet Tamid. There's a great version of the Kahati with the pictures from Machon Amigdah so you can know what's going on. Unfortunately, I'm learning the Mishnah and the picture is inaccurate. It's like the guy who drew the picture probably should have read the Mishnah. So I'm going to send him a letter today. I found three errors in one picture. V'ayde kud shabrichu, ale, okay, kamse. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent against them kamse. Kamse, they say, are either ants or grasshoppers. V'nakvuha. And they put a hole, they bore a hole in the mountain. V'nachit b'tzavare. And the mountain fell on his neck. So now the mountain is now a halo, a life vest. But it's not a life vest, it's a yoke weighing him down on his neck. Havabai lemishlefa. He wanted, doesn't it sound more authoritative when you read it in the Aramaic? You know, he wanted to throw it off himself. He wanted to get rid of it. Mashche shine lahai gisa u lahai gisa. No, mashche shine means his teeth extended in this direction and in that direction. Right? Like his teeth came out and came a werewolf. One second. Velomasli lemishlefe. And his teeth embedded themselves in the rock and he could not throw it off. V'hainu dichtiv, and this is what it says in Tehillim, shine rishaim shibarta. Shibarta means you have broken the teeth of the evil. Uchrav Shimon ben Lakish, as Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, the Amrav Shimon ben Lakish, my dichtiv shine rishaim shibarta. What does it mean you have broken the teeth of the evil? Al tikre shibarta, alashir rivavta. Don't read, you have broken the teeth, alashir rivavta, leharbot. You have extended the teeth of he who is evil. So the Gemara says, Moshe kamahaveh. How tall was Moshe? Eser amot. Shakil narga bar eser amin. He took a narga. A stone. A narga is a sword, I think. They say stick, I don't know. I think it's a sword, whatever. 10 amot long. Shavar esa amin. You know what it means already. He jumped 10 amot high. Umachia bekar sule. Hit him in the ankle. Bekatle. And he killed him.
How did he kill him?
Hit him in the ankle.
Well, he was already. An ankle? That's going to kill him?
No, but he was already. Have you ever heard of the Achilles heel? You're thinking like a medical person. Yeah. So this Gemara is important. You guys are like so literal. So this Gemara, okay, is brought down in Rashi, and it's important to see. I'm trying to show you the whole like universe. It's brought down in this Rashi that Rashi quotes. Right, the Rashi alludes to that you wouldn't know unless you knew to look up the Rashi. Okay, and it's brought down in the Midrash. That's how Moshe killed him. That's what Moshe was afraid of. It's the same Og who was 1,000 feet tall, and Moshe wasn't afraid of his 1,000 feet. And because of this mountain that Og wanted to do, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. And that if you happen to see that mountain, make a bracha. What? Sometimes the question is so like overarching, you don't even have to ask the question, which is, what do you do with all this? Okay, how many people here think now after reading all this, believe that somewhere in Jordan there is a mountain with a hole in it? Raise your hand. How many people believe if you looked and knew where to look, you would find such a mountain? What do you mean? No, but you're saying if you lured a look, you would find the mountain.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one.
No. I'm saying
for all of you sitting at home, you have a room full of religious women who believe in the Gemara, but you're all saying that this you don't believe.
Well, why is it that it looks so keen then? If it's such a
How did the mountain become hollow in the first place?
The rock, the ants. The termites, correct. Ate through it. Good. Okay. So
Ebenezer doesn't address it at all.
Not this one, no, not this one.
He doesn't bring it up at all.
I think this whole thing is coming back to just illustrate. Like we've seen it in the previous parashiyot.
that Hashem is like Hashem's strength, and Moshe's a leader, and it's trying to show that everybody's trying to undermine him. I think it's the same message, and the point isn't really whether there was a block or what the size is. I think it's trying to show you know, because it's completely supernatural, and we were talking about this last week in terms of, you know, Hashem's strength and Moshe's leadership.
That's all great, so you're saying there wasn't a rock.
I'm saying it's relevant whether there was a rock or there wasn't a rock. I think everyone's
such a political dodge. I ask you a question. I'm looking for an answer. Like I listen to Fox News and they say, so would you support the legislation? I have always been in favor of family values. Like they don't answer the question.
But
never.
Why is it so hard to believe?
Wait a second. I'm still grilling Shira. She almost succeeded. Is there a rock?
I think there's a rock and it wasn't necessarily that big. And I think that maybe the Gemara has a reason for inflating the story in order to give the people at that time a hero and a lekach that they needed.
Okay.
You think there is a rock?
I didn't say
it. But it wasn't that big, and it got over time. The story became embellished to the point where the Gemara records it in its embellishment.
I think there was
necessarily.
Is that the whole?
Okay.
I think there was a rock, but I don't think the rock is really whether you can go find it today or whether you know. I think is irrelevant. I think the point is there was a rock. The point of the story is supporting Moshe and Hashem and the story, and not really saying. I don't think the whole point
of it. The minutiae on
the. Right, I don't know what he's making.
Why are they telling us?
Okay, this book is called Ein Yaakov. What is Ein Yaakov?
That's the Vilna Gaon, isn't it?
No. Ein Yaakov. Okay, it's in the middle. You got all the stories from the Gemara, all the Agadot in the Gemara, all of it. Okay. What?
Yeah, that's what the girls
are supposed to be. It was supposedly Vaibish Shazakin, right? Vaibish Shazakin. Sadly, that's sad because it's totally not true, right? The real Ein Yaakov is the Ein Yaakov that is the commentary written by Rabbi Yaakov ibn Shlomo, Rabbi Yaakov bar Shlomo ibn Habib, who put this together. He put this compilation together, and also with the commentaries on the Agadah. The problem is, when men learn Gemara, right, they don't very...
skip the
yeah,
idea.
They just
they
read
like
it.
Run through it.
They run through it, right? And that's a terrible problem because the Agadah is there for a reason. Chazal didn't skip it. They wrote it down. Right? But we concern ourselves with important matters like halakha. Right? But the Agadah...
What? So what do you mean? Did you say that girls often learn
it? Really? You learn the stories, though. Did you learn the deep stuff? Sorry, okay.
That's right.
Okay, but if you study Ein Yaakov, you'll notice that on the side of the Ein Yaakov, the stuff in the middle is just like short. Right? The main stuff of Ein Yaakov, the meat, the awesome stuff, is the stuff on the outside. Okay, just so happens, so this Ein Yaakov, the same Ein Yaakov they published 200 years ago, it's just a photo of it. Nowadays they have a much nicer version, which is much easier to read, but whatever. What? Okay.
What'd you say?
Aaron's book.
Next trip.
Okay. So there are commentaries from the Rishonim. Very important commentaries. One of them is the Rashba. Have you ever heard of the Rashba?
Yeah.
Who was Rashba? Shlomo ben Aderet. He lived when and where? Come on. No, that's Rashbam. That's Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir. Rashbam ben Aderet lived in Spain. He was a Talmud of the Talmud. He's a Talmud of the Ramban and a Rav of the Ritva. Okay, he was lived in Christian Spain. Rav Shlomo ben Aderet, and he's a very huge Rishon. And he talks about this story. And we're going to read we can't read the whole thing, but I'm going to read some of it just to tell you.
Pre-Inquisition.
Tchila a'ircha al inyan ha'agadot shabau b'tamidah b'migashim. It's a very important Rashba. He says, I'm going to talk to you about these agadot that appear in the Gemara and the Midrashim. Da. No. Kibau mehem belashon amok. Sometimes they come in a very deep language. The sibot rabot. For many reasons. Ki li'itim, sometimes timse emzal. Sometimes the rabbis are, you will find, romzim inyan pashut ma'od. They hint something very simple. O she'en tzorich bo klal. Or unnecessary, totally unnecessary. Ra'al ki ze yotziru oto belashon zarva amok ma'od. And nonetheless, they will say something very simple, and in such an unusual way, until the person seeing it will think sheesh b'inyanahu eze inyan sarich lahaskiro, that they're trying to think they're trying to hide something. Ve'ena raki li'itim yotzi'em otav lashon zar ma'od. And sometimes they'll say it in a very unusual manner. Kedei lechaded libot atamidim. Why would they say it? To sharpen the hearts of the students. Ve'od kedei le'orer enei haksilim. And also to awaken the eyes of the foolish. Hametzilim shibush divrei chachamim b'tchilat ha'machshava. So sometimes they'll just say it in order to make you think that they're stupid, in order to fool you. Ve'tzei pshutei hadvarim migeder hasagatam. When they take things out of their normal possible understanding, the simple understanding. V'sichlam hamua ki inyan shekatuv, as it says, ki yisharim darchei Hashem, righteous are the ways of God, tzadikim yelchuba, the righteous will follow them, uposhim yikashluban, and the sinners will stumble in them. So he says, look, understand. The first thing you have to know about these midrashim are, There's a first and foremost, a basic issue. Do you believe in Emunah Chachamim or not? When Chazal says something that seems foolish, like you laughed when you read this midrash. Okay, we laughed. Right? It seems silly. It seems ridiculous. It seems unbelievable. Okay, so then you have to ask yourself, do you have faith in Chazal or don't you? So he says, Tzadikim Yalchubam, Uksilim, whatever, what's the word? Sinners will stumble in them. And I must say, by the way, this is a very important rule in halachic interpretation as well. Because when it comes to nitty-gritty of halachic interpretation, much is left to Emunah Chachamim. Much, very much about the way we lead our lives is left to what do the Rabbanim in today's day and age say to us. And they'll say to this person, you can do this, and they'll say to that person, you can't. I'll give you a very simple example. I'll say to a doctor who gets a call on Shabbat, you can text in your directions. I'm going to say to a kid who wants to say Shabbat Shalom to his friend, you can't. Did you read the blog? You read the whole thing? It's involved.
Oh, text him.
You understand? It's involved. So I was a little nervous about it. It's very involved. It's like very subtle. But whatever. Not so subtle? Whatever. But somebody will say, how come he can text and I can't text? Where's the line? How come? No, driving,
that's
not driving.
Obvious example. Sometimes they're not. They're more subtle.
Correct. Sometimes they're more subtle. A lot more subtle. He can call and I can't call. He can do this and I can't do this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Very subtle. And it takes Emunah Chachamim to say there are the lines that are drawn by Rabbanim are the lines that I have faith in. Just stop there. We can talk about it afterwards if you're interested. Okay. V'od. One second. Yesh lehem siba acheret galu otam b'ksato midrashim. Okay? They have another reason. Sometimes they told you, and this is going to shock you. V'hayu ki li'itim hayu chachamim doshim berabim. Sometimes the rabbis, they would speak in public. U'marichim b'divrei to'elet. And they were telling very important things. V'hayu ha'am yishenim. And the people fell asleep. Right. You mean rabbi? You mean people fell asleep in rabbi speeches, even in times of the Rashi?
That's my rechim, that they would speak
more. And in order to wake them up, hayu omrim lehem dvarim zarim. They would say ridiculous things, the bahalam, confuse them. Kedei sheyara'u mishnatam. And he gives a very example. He says, the Midrash says, what? He says, yalda isha achat b'mitzrayim shishim ribo b'keres achat. One woman gave birth to 600,000 children. He says, that's ridiculous. How could it be? Okay? He says, one second, Rabbi Shulah, Yochevet Shialda Moshe. So its idea is, did she really give birth to 600,000 people? No way.
A midwife.
What?
A midwife.
It was a midwife, or no, the Yochevet, the mother of Moshe, gave birth to Moshe, and Moshe brought out 600,000 people. So what's he saying? But important, what's he saying about these midrashim? It's very important. I wouldn't have said this.
They're sensational.
Ah, what? You get your attention, but what does that mean about the Midrash itself?
It's not true.
Don't take it literally. Meaning, you could say a lot of different things. You guys weren't even saying this. You were saying, well, it was trying to hint to something. It was trying to allude to something. There's a deeper message. Rashba does not say that. What does he say?
Sometimes.
He says, sometimes they are simply ridiculous. And why did Chazal say them? Because people were falling asleep. You're like, what? Did he just say that Og Melech HaBashan picked up a rock that was 8 miles long and threw it on the Jewish people? And he's not going to say about this one, but the example that he gives is saying that, yes, sometimes they make no sense whatsoever. They're not true. And Rabbi said them for whatever reason they said them. It's part of our lore.
Isn't the danger here that you say, well, this one they were joking about, maybe they were also joking about that thing about they were saying about kashrut.
What do you mean? Halakha or agada? Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to wipe them up exactly? Like, what do you mean? Obviously, you don't mean literally to wake them up. So.
No, he means literally to wake them up. They were sleeping in the speech. That's what he says. That bothers you, right? You know,
no,
I say that's a radical.
More metaphorically, if he's talking about it there. I mean,
no, so that's what he's saying. He's saying. So what's going on with our midrash? He didn't say about this, but he says. I mean, the example that he gives is a little. I'm good. I'm 10 minutes. I'm gonna have to watch it.
No, okay. I'm looking at
my watch. Second or text message. Okay. He says, "Da, what happened? What about this one? Okay, what in the world is going on about this?" So he says, "We know from later that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid." Now I'm paraphrasing. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. Okay. Why was Moshe Og? Why was he afraid of Og and not Sichon? Because of the Shuva Alot Tzadik from Moshe Rabbeinu, we figure out what in the world Moshe was afraid of. Okay, but Yavoa Palit. So what was he afraid of? What Moshe was afraid of? Zchut Avot. Okay, Ukvar Yadat the Shnishal Avot B'Divrei Hanavim LaHarim. So he says the Avot were Nimshalu KeHarim. They were nimshalu, they were alluded to, they were parabolized, compared to mountains. Okay, they were the mountains of the Jewish people. Okay, one second. So Og says, that was the machshava of Og. Since this Uma, right, has, like, so he says, this their power is the Avot. So he lifted up the Avot of three Parsaot. The mountain of three Parsaot was the mountain of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'll take their Avot, right, and I'll throw it on them. Mm-hmm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and says, one second, Amdalehem, right, Ach, Yisrael, Kocham B'Lashonam, their power is in their Lashon. What is the power of the ants, or the power of the grasshoppers? What do the grasshoppers do? How do they destroy things? They eat. The power of the mouth. So the Jewish people, through the power of their tefillah, they were able to take the koch of the avot that Og wanted to use and turn it upon him. Okay? Zchut Avraham velosia et Og. Rati chapcha alav. And then it came down on Og, right, and it came into his teeth. Does that help you? You feel better about that? So according to the Rashba, if you searched... Yes.
But then why would you say you make a bracha?
If you search for the mountain of Og, would you find it?
No.
No, you would not find it. There's no such mountain. Now you feel better, right? Mm-hmm. Feel better?
No. Yeah. Say bracha. I just think back 2 weeks ago with the tzitzit, I'm saying someone says they found the mountain and everybody should start making a bracha.
Oh, come on, come on. Okay, we are taking a shiur tiyul to the Machon HaTchelet. We're going to do it. We have to go. We should take a family tiyul. We'll take our kids. Let's set it up. We're going to go. Because you have to see it in order to be so skeptical. Right? No, that's a different trip. We're going to go.
Right. We should be doing it in 3 weeks.
We should do it. We're going to take a trip. Okay, enough of this. We're enough of this skepticism. And you're going to buy it for your husband. He's going to wear it. Okay. I got in big trouble for saying that. Somebody was really mad at me last day. He said, I got a bone to pick with you. I heard your shear. How dare you, son? Anyway, okay.
You convinced David.
What? I did? Did he get it? It's in the process. It's a process. I understand. Okay.
Everything there.
Okay. Okay, so that's his example. That's his allusion. And if you look in the Maharsha, Maharsha has also a commentary on it. He has a Chiddush Agadot. He also has an interpretation. I want to share with you a third interpretation of Rav Kook. Rav Kook wrote a book called Ein Aya. Sadly, he only got to Brachot, and there's no new version of it. This is it. Okay, I'm just going to go. And Rav Kook wrote...
Isn't there someone that says, if you believe all of it, you're a fool, but if you don't believe any of it, you're... even bigger fool.
Wait, okay, where's the line? How much? What do you say? Where do you draw the line?
Remember that?
No, I never had it in that language.
Something like that.
Where do you draw the line? What do you say? You know what I'm saying? Well, this I believe, this I don't believe.
I guess it means you have to learn from it.
Okay. So Rav Kook says an illusion, but I actually think I have my own interpretation of what Chazal were trying to get at, which I think is important and has actually unbelievable lessons for us today. Because the I believe, the message that I interpret and understand in the Rock of Og is equally true for us in Israel and in the world today. It's unbelievably true and important, really important. Says, okay, one second. Says Rav Kook. One second. Okay. Tziur ha-gvura ha-chomrit. The illustration of physical power. Eich ena mukhsheret lahavi et adam el nitzchono. Right? How it does not bring a person to his ultimate victory. Tzvicha v'dai lehitztayer benefilat Og ha-gibor ha-ne'eratz be'olam neged Yisrael. Og represents the notion of physical power. If Og Melech HaBashan, how did he survive? He's 1,000 feet tall. How did he want to destroy the Jewish people? He said it very simple.
Physical.
I will take a mountain, the size of the camp, and throw it on them and destroy them. I will destroy them. I'll squash them. There's no simpler way to destroy the Jewish people than take a rock big enough to destroy them and obliterate them. Okay? Amnam, he says, nonetheless, Hagvura hachomrit te'achez derech tsara benitzachon. He says, that's the shortcut to victory. Yes, it's one way, the physical. Mashata amol hachachma lahavi etzot merachot. Wisdom is the long way and can beat the short way. Yamar bazeh, so that's what he said. The giant says, according to your Batalat Parse. Koach HaGvura, the physical says, I will take my physical power and I'll destroy the power of Chachma and Ruach, of wisdom and spirit. Right? Okay? Hitnoseis b'nezer hatiferet. He adorns himself with his crown of glory. What's the nezer? The crown of his glory. What's the crown of glory of Og? No, not zchut avot. The crown of Og is his physical power. Where did he put the rack, by the way? What did he do? Over his head. That's a detail of Cook notes. He put it on his head. V'tehedar b'gvurat yado. I will take my power and place it on my head. He puts it over his head. This is my strength. I can beat anyone. Amnam ha'gvura chomrit. But the physical power. He can be destroyed with the smallest, small attacks. Briot tanot mechulalot machalot. The little ants that make teeny tiny indentations. Yitzadu gam ha'anak ha'yoter gevoa v'amitz el be'er ha'shachat. They can drive the greatest giant into the pit of destruction. Okay? That's what God sent his gvurato. He sent kumse, he sent the ants, the grasshoppers. Okay? And then nachit atzavare, le'ol atzavare. Then his physical power, the symbol, the crown of this physical power, became a burden to him. I find this mashal unbelievably powerful. It became the noose on his neck. Okay? His great power, his great strength, it becomes his embitterment. Okay? He can't even benefit from the world. He's walking around with this huge rock on his neck. Okay? Then he wants to be saved. As Yachpotz, he's not telling me about Atag Gvura Chomrit. He says, okay, it's time for me to throw off this Gvura Chomrit, this physical power. He wants to throw it off. But when you want to throw off your physical power, what happened to Og? What happened in the Midrash, in the story? His teeth had already become entrenched in it. Okay? What does teeth symbolize? His mouth, his teeth. When you bare your teeth, it's a symbol of power, strength. Those teeth, they're stuck in the rock. Okay? Okay? He can't do it. He can't get rid of it. Okay? Okay. And in the end, Rav Kook goes on. He talks about the chumriyot versus ruchniyot. But I wanted to say it in a different way. He says the person involved in the physical, his whole life is involved in physical and physical and physical. Until the end of his life, he realizes, my whole life is involved in physical. I want to become involved in something else. I want to get rid of this physicality. And he can't. He's so entrenched in the physical life. It's his Achilles heel. It becomes his weakness. It's a part and parcel of who he is. If he gets rid of it, what is he? He's nothing. So I thought about it this. I thought about this personally in terms of, I'll give you my example, and I'll give you another example, and then I'll think what the Chazal were trying to say. I think in terms of the United States of America. Look at America today. America is drowning in debt. They're drowning in debt. Why? Because we were so powerful and so able to give and give and give and give. Right? Look at the American, they call it the American military industrial complex. Look at how much the healthcare system. So now they say, okay, we'll just stop giving. What would happen if you just cut off the spigot? What happens? The whole thing, A, the people will turn against you, and B, you can't, because the economy would fall apart. So you become so dependent upon your own strength that it becomes part and parcel of who you are. When we were learning this in the Gemara Shir, one of the guys said, he looks at me and goes, this is Israel. Why? Because if you become so dependent on your military to defeat you, what do the Mechablim do? What? They're the ants. They find the ways of getting through the cracks. You know what I'm saying? And they eat at your very identity. I read a blog post yesterday, some blog that I follow in my reader called The Gold Blog, Andrew Goldberg from The Atlantic. Andrew Goldberg, The Gold Blog. And he says that the TSA, they searched a 95-year-old woman in her wheelchair with leukemia, and they went through her like her soiled undergarments. And she just wanted to go home to die. Why? He says, because we can't be mechav, we can't make a distinction between, we don't know who is and who isn't a terrorist. Lo aleinu. He says that means a terrorist of one. Thank God Israel, we've gotten that point. I mean, they've uprooted who you are. They figured out how to get to you. They've got you afraid. You're the most powerful nation in the world, and you're afraid of a 95-year-old woman in a wheelchair. There's something rotten about that.
I was going to do this. I stopped this person, an old person in front of me, and they were like,
these Arabs. Yeah, go ahead.
And then they stopped me.
Yeah.
And I said, watch the logic here. They said, every seventh person.
Every seventh person. So just see, that's what they said? Unbelievable. So, meaning, no, but what the point is that when you become so dependent on your physical strength, it becomes the noose around your neck. And such important wisdom of Chazal, such important wisdom, that knowledge and ruchniyut, the power of the Jewish people, Rav Kook says this, he really alludes to it, lies in our connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that, I think, you could say that that's what Hashem told Moshe, Al tira oto. Yes, he is a physically strong person. But if you connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, doesn't matter. He could have the strongest army in the world, the most great power, but you'll be able to uproot him. You'll be able to beat him. And the reason, what I think Chazal said when they wrote this, Chazal, they were living in a different time. When the time of the Gemara arena, when they lived in the time of the Gemara, who were they fighting? According to many times Chazal, the Jewish people were fighting against a Roman army that was the Og Melech HaBashan of their time. How do we beat them? So I believe they couldn't say what they wanted to say. So they said, you know what? Let me tell you a story about Og Melech HaBashan. How do you beat Og Melech HaBashan? They have the army, the Roman army, has to operate in a certain way. It's a bureaucracy. It has its rules. How did America beat the British?
By starting a
guerrilla warfare. And the British were like, you're not fighting by the rules. And the Americans said, yeah. Right. What does that say to us and the Arabs? We say, terrible. Gilad Shalit, you're not fighting by the rules. And Hamas says, what rules? When you fight by a set of rules and they don't fight by your set of rules, they have an advantage. It's scary. It's frightening. Now you look at the story of Og Melech HaBashan. This is the problem with the little Midrash says. Is the story true? It's 100% true. But you can't read it as a children's story. You have to read it as a deep, critical mashal for the way we live our lives. There's a lot to be said about that. You know what I'm saying? And when you read it only as a children's story, it becomes the stuff of ridicule, as opposed to the stuff of true wisdom that Chazal had to teach us. Stop here.